Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Urad Umadava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Malava Giri Padadhari. Gopi Nana Balava Giri Padadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tera Banachari Yamuna te Ravana chante Jai Hurad Umadava Kunja Vihagute Jai Urad Umadva Kunja Vihari. Gopi Nana Manava Hidibadu Dhaudi. Gopi Nana Malaba Hidi Padadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janu Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjanta Jamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jai Radhu Madhuva Kunja Vihari. Jai Radhu Madhuva Kunja Vihari. Madhuva. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Paravatacharya Alsutada Siddhashi Shivad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhattavan Sami Maharshila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrind Gajai Namacharya Shilohidas Thakur Gajai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Ravana Chinanda should wait a Gadadha, she was at the goal, Bhakta Vindagaja. Sri Sri Radhakrishna, go Bhagavana, Shaim Kund Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Gijai, Vrindavaram Gijai, Maturidam Gijai, Jagadakasami Gijai, Yamunamai Gijai, Shimati Lassi Devi Gijai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrindagajai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vasudevaya Bhutale Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Namami Namaste Saraswati Devi Parvati Charani Devasesas Nirvati Vaschadati Sutarni. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 21st chapter, text 3. And actually this part of the Bhagavatam is called the Venu Gita, in case you're interested. It means the song of the flute. So we're going to talk about Krishna's flute today. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tad Vraja Striya Ashrutya Venu Gitam Smarodeham Kaschit Parokshang Krishnasya Swa Svakibhyo Anvavarnayan Tadvrajastriya Ashrutya Venu Gitam Smarodeham Kaschit Paroksham Krishnasya Swasaki Bhyon Vavarnayan Tadvrajastriya Ashrutya Venu Gitam Smarodeham Kaschit Paroksham Krishnasya Swasaki Bhyon Vavarnayan Tadvrajastriya Shutaya Shutya Venu Gitam Smarodeham Kaschit Paroksham Krishnasya Swasaki Bhyon Vavarnayan. Right. Tat that Rajastriyaha, the ladies in the coward village, Ashrucha, hearing. Renu Gitam, the song of the flute. Smara Udayam, which gives rise to the influence of Cupid. Kaschit, some of them. Paroksham, privately. Krishna Sha, about Krishna. Sasaki Vyaha, to their intimate companions. Anvavarnyan, described, translation. When the young ladies in the coward village of Braja heard the song of Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends. So you can repeat. When the young ladies in the coward village of Braja heard the song of Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends. So there's no purport by the followers of His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada, but there are elaborate purports by some of the great acharyas. So first we'll read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Hearing the song of Krishna's flute, the gopis began describing indirectly paroksham about Krishna entering the forest to their friends. The word paroksha indirectly is used because they were situated far off in Braja. And Jiva Goswami comments, on hearing the flute, the gopis began to describe him constantly or began making songs of their own. Anvarnayan. The cause is mentioned. They heard the flute with an appearance of love. Though he was engaged in playing the flute at this time, Poganda, he aroused them because of his skillfulness in manifesting Kaishora age, even at this time. So just try to understand, Krishna has different ages, Komara, Poganda, Kaishora. And he was, in one sense, he was too young to engage in romantic affairs at this particular time. But he manifested an older age so the gopis could get attracted to him. And also the gopis were very young too. On seeing the beauty of the autumn, he became stimulated and began practicing his flute playing to attract them. Thus they became aroused at this time and they began to describe him at this time. Of course, this time is mentioned both right after each other. They heard from a far away, but completely. Since the nature of the sound of his flute was that it spread everywhere because of its deep tones. Ashruchat, let me turn off my phone. Or even hearing it a little, some kaschit, such as Radha, became affected. All the women of Braj heard, however, since the sound is described as sarva bhuta manoharam, attractive to all beings in verse 6. Sarvabhuta Manoharam. Actually, the word Manoharam means stealing the mind. It doesn't just mean attractive. It means mana and haram. Hari means to steal, or haram means to steal, Manoharam. Thus, women like Yashoda became aroused with Vatsalya sentiments. In other words, not Madhurya, like Prabhupada says, or not Prabhupada. Sanatana goes, Rupa Goswami, not Madhurya sentiments or Smarodayam. Radha spoke to her friends, such as Lalita, to reveal her mental anguish. She told only her intimate friends, Swa, because of great embarrassment. Moreover, she did this privately, hiding her emotions. And Sanatana Goswami, he has quite a lengthy commentary. At that place, Tat, the gopis began to describe him constantly, or began describing the flute after hearing his flute, Anvarnayan. The causes mentioned, the song of the flute manifested his love or remembrance of the gopi, Smarandayam, on seeing the water, etc. Or the song caused an appearance of desire in the gopis. Though Krishna's nature is always like this, now because of manifesting a special bhava with a special playing of the flute. This occurred. Therefore, at this time, the gopis began to speak. Hearing the flute song, which was filled with Krishna's special love for them, or which was most enchanting, tut, they began describing him because the sound manifested love. The women of Braja or living Braja, it's the English shears. The women of Braja or living in Braja heard, or those, anyway, I have to edit this as I'm reading it. The women of Braja or those living far away or heard distinctly the song, since it was filled with Krishna's special desire or strong love for them. Or they slightly heard Ashruta, the song of the flute, or heard the song by the flute. The sound of the flute manifested as a song because it seemed to sing with a special grace on its own by the touch of Krishna's lips. Some of them endowed with special bhava, such as Radha, began describing Krishna. Though all the women of Braja heard the flute, some felt parental affection, not conjugal love. Thus those women are not included in the gopis who began describing Krishna in this chapter. They described him in private, paroksham, to their friends, such as Lalita, or they described Krishna to give happiness to their friends. By making their friends happy, they would become happy. We go back to the verse so we can recite that. All right. Tadvraja Sriya Hasrutya Venu Gitam Smaro Deham Kaschit Paroksham Krishnasya Swasakibyonva Varnayan. All right. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, in the Nectar Devotion, I'm going to read some quotes from the Nectar Devotion here. There's different types of flutes that Krishna has. And basically, there's three different categories of flutes. One is called the Venu, one is called the Barali, and the other is called the Vamshi. Venu is very small, not more than 6 inches long. Think about this long. Very, very small flute. And it has 6 holes for whistling. Murali is about 18 inches long. It's about like that. Yeah, not that good. With a hole at the end and 4 holes on the body of the flute, only 4 holes. This kind of flute produces a very enchanting sound. The Vamsi flute is about 15 inches long, with 9 holes on its body. Krishna used to play on these 3 flutes occasionally when they were needed. Krishna has a longer Vamsi, which is called the Mahananda or Samohini. When it is still longer, it is called the Akarshani. When it is even longer, it is called Anandini. That means it's really long. The Anandini flute is very pleasing to the coward boys. It is technically called Vamshuli. These flutes were sometimes bedecked with jewels. Sometimes they were made of marble and sometimes of hollow bamboo. When the flute is made of jewels, it is called Samohini. When it's made of gold, it is called Akarshani. So this flute, sometimes it's described that the flute actually calls the name of Radharani. It sounds like Radharani's name, and it actually calls her. And Radharani, when she hears this flute, this is described in the Vidagda Madhava. I'm going to make some reference to the Vidagda Madhava today. Then when she hears this flute, she gets so bewildered that she doesn't even remember that it's connected to Krishna. She just thinks there's a separate person who's playing the flute. In fact, in the Vidagda Madhava, you have Radharani say that I'm very unchaste. Why is this? Because actually, let me give a little explanation of the Vedic system. In the Vedic system, if a girl is attracted to more than one man, it's considered very bad. She's considered, anyway, I won't tell you what, I guess it's prostitution. So anyway, so So anyway, she's thinking, I am very unchaste because I am in love with the person who plays the flute. I'm in love with three people. I'm in love with that blackish boy, and I'm in love with that person called Krishna. So she doesn't really connect that they're all the same person, and she's lamenting like this. And later on, she is reassured that they are one person. So she is chastened, so she feels reassured at that particular point. So whenever Krishna plays his flute, it just bewilders everybody. And not only the gopis, there's some quotes here about how even the demigods become bewildered. I'm going to read, and this is also from the 35th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. It says, the gopis tell Mother Yashoda, when your son plays on his flute, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Indra, although they are supposed to be the greatest learned scholars and personalities, all become bewildered. And although they are very great personalities, by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they humbly bow down and become grave from studying the sound vibrated. And of course, the flute song, or the sound of the flute, is actually a vibhava. We were talking about this last night, because nectar devotion, we're dealing with bhavas, or the emotions. And of course, there's five different types or categories of emotions. If everybody remembers last night's class, there's the vibhava, the anubhava, there's the sattvika bhava, there's the santri, which is sometimes called vyabhachari bhava, and finally there's the stai bhava. So what's being described here with the flute is the vibhava. Vibhava means something that really stimulates your emotion. And of course, there's alambana and udipana. Alambana means directly Krishna. Udipana means things connected to Krishna. So the flute is actually connected to Krishna. So it stimulates the devotees or the gopis' emotions in relationship to Krishna. So last night we were describing a mundane example to understand what stimulation means. And I actually was talking to one devotee who has a daughter that he's very attached to. And I said, whenever you see your daughter's clothes or something like that, you become happy and ecstatic because it reminds you of your daughter. Whenever you see your daughter directly, that also makes you ecstatic. And then when you become ecstatic, you start dancing in ecstasy. That's an anubhava. Anyway, and then your constant love for your daughter is your sattvika bhava. It's interesting. You can give it mundane examples of these things. And then when you become overcome with ecstasy and you can't control it, like when your daughter gets A in medical school, then that's the santri bhava. You know, you just like start crying and rolling on the ground and you feel lose consciousness. And then like Lord Chaitanya, I gave the example of Lord Chaitanya. When he saw Lord Jagannath, because that was Vibhava. But immediately he went to the Santri Bhava, because Lord Jagannath stimulated his love. And then immediately he went to the Santri Bhava, which is like death. You know, practically, not complete death, but for all intents and purposes, everyone thought he was dead. He had left his body, and only Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, by putting a cotton swab in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's nose, could ascertain that Lord Chaitanya was still there. It hasn't left his body. Of course, it's not that the Supreme Lord leaves his body, but still people were thinking like that. So anyway, these are the different bhavas. The vibhava is extremely important as far as we are concerned. And I'll get into that in a second, but let me talk more about the flute. Another thing that's very interesting about the flute is the gopis are extremely envious of the flute because it disturbs them. And they lose control of everything. For example, when Krishna plays his flute, the gopis who are married, they're all married actually at that point, but the gopis who have children just like drop their children. Now, Those of you who are very much into attachment parenting, I was talking to Leela Shakti about that, you know, keeping the children like that. And then imagine, you can just imagine hearing something so enticing, so attractive that you just like put the kid down. The kid's crying. The milk is boiling over. The husband is yelling at you because you haven't cooked dinner for him that night. And you just like, boom, head for the hills. So the gopis, in many cases, they're upset with that. You know, there's actually negative emotions towards the flute sometimes because they don't want to lose control. And they're envious of the flute also, because the flute gets to be at Krishna's lips continually, or whenever Krishna wants. You know, it's tucked into his belt, put in his lips, and the gopis think, you know, the flute can be at Krishna's lips all the time, and as far as we're concerned, you know, we hanker for it, but generally we're not at that particular situation. So it's only for a few minutes a day or for particular times of the day. So they get very angry at the flute. So because they get very angry at the flute, they make plans to steal the flute away from Krishna so Krishna can't play it. And I'm going to read a little excerpt and then continue the story after I read the excerpt from the Vidagdha Madhava. So this is a drama. The Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava are two dramas composed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Very beautiful dramas, and someday I hope to see someone do these dramas. So anyway, so Krishna becomes bewildered at this point because he looks at Radharani's face and he says to himself, ah, decorated with restlessness, the eyebrows of Radha are expert in the art of Tandava, fierce dancing. So, of course, in this material world, it's described that the eyebrows of a lady are like stringless bows. I mean, that's there in the story of Pururava. Your stringless bows. You. I mean, I don't understand these things at all. But anyway, so that people get, men get bewildered. I mean, I really don't understand at all. I mean, Krishna somehow or other took that type of understanding away from me, which, thank God. So, but also, this is a reflection in this world of Radharani's eyebrows. So here, the eyebrows of Radharani are expert in the art of Tandava, fierce dancing. You know, so she's, you know, Krishna just gets so bewildered at this point. And Vishakha whispers, oh, Lalita, look, look. Because Radha has aimed the enchanting arrow of her sidelong glance at Kanha. That's a name for Krishna, of course, Kanha. That's a pet name for Krishna. The sidelong glance means, you know, I don't know about that. He has become bewildered and is not aware that he has placed his flute on the edge of Radha's sari along with the flowers. You know, she's just like bewildered, just like Krishna is bewildering the gopis with his flute. So Radharani is bewildering Krishna with her eyebrows. So this is the nature of the spiritual world. Under the influence of Yoga Maya, everyone's bewildered. Anyway, I'll continue. Lalita says, the transcendental coward boys are not able to steal away the flute from the son of Nanda, even when he sleeps. The fortunate Radha has nevertheless bewildered him with the art of her sidelong glance, and she has stolen away the flute before his very eyes. And Radha, speaking aside, you know, it's actually quite interesting in these plays, you actually have people speaking aside. You know. This is the same flute which causes the gopis' hands to become numbed when they perform their household duties. At night, this flute attracts the golden complexion gopis, even from the laps of their husband. This flute looses the gopis' tight belts, even in the presence of their superiors. Whew. This rascal flute, the property of Gokula Mangala, that means the auspicious person, Gokula, is now under my control. This is, it's actually from the, if you're interested in reading it, it's from the fourth chapter of the Vidagdha Madhava. And then what happens, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen after this point, like Mukara comes. Mukara is Radharani's grandmother. And Krishna just like starts to accuse Radharani for stealing his flute. And Mukara, you know, she's like an older lady. She basically tries to find out what's happening. And eventually Jatila comes and discovers them all there. Jatila, of course, is Radharani's so-called mother-in-law. And she discovers that Krishna and Radha are there. And then she grabs the flute and she takes it into her house. And everyone's upset at this point. You know, Radharani's upset. Krishna's upset. How am I going to get my flute back? Of course, we do understand that Krishna has many flutes. It's not that he just has one flute, as described before. But still, by the influence of Yogamaya, he's thinking, you know, now I can't play my flute anymore. And so she takes it in the house, and everyone's upset. And so then you have a Brinda, who is in charge of the Vrindavan forest. She calls for this old female monkey, Kakati. And Kakati goes into the house of Jatila and starts tearing everything apart, you know, tearing all the boga off the shelves. You know, actually, a big monkey comes into your house like that. And Jatila doesn't know what to do. She, you know, there's no weapons or anything that she has. And she sees that the flute's in her hand. She throws the flute at Kakati, and Kakati grabs the flute, brings it back to the, actually not directly to Krishna, I think to Brinda at that point, and then it gets back in Krishna's hand. So these are different pastimes with the flute. And I'd also like to read some statements about the flute from the Nectar of Devotion. And some of these are from Rupa Goswami's Bhajavali. So you'll understand how bewildering the flute is. So here's a quote. One gopi said to another, "My dear friend, when I hear the sound of Krishna's flute, I try to hide myself from the reaction of the vibrations. But still I could not check the trembling of my body, and therefore all my friends in the house could detect my attachment for Krishna without any doubt." In other words, they're trying to hide it from their parents and relatives. And all of a sudden, there's Krishna's flute, and they start like shaking like that and trembling. In his book, Stavavali, Raghunath Das Goswami has prayed for the mercy of Radharani, who was so captivated by the flute vibrations of Krishna, that she immediately asked information of his whereabouts from the residents of the Vrindavan forest. One of the gopis said, "May Krishna's sweet flute be washed away by the waves of the Yamuna and let it fall into the ocean." You know, this is their anger at the flute. "The sweet sound of that flute is so impudent that it makes us lose all composure before our superior." So in other words, the gopis have this like mixed attitude towards the flute. They're attracted to the flute, and sometimes they hate the flute. They want to get rid of it because, you know, they just can't stand how they lose control upon hearing the flute. And there's another statement from the Vidagdha Madhava. When Krishna was playing on his flute, Baladev very anxiously declared, "Just see how after hearing," this is about the residents of heaven, "the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute, Indra, the king of heaven, is crying in his heavenly kingdom. And from his teardrops falling on the ground, Vrindavan appears to become a celestial residence for the demigods." In the Pajabali, there's a statement by a constant companion of Radharani who says, "My dear moon-faced Radharani, your whole body appears very content, yet there are signs of tears in your eyes, your speech is faltering, and your chest is also heaving. By all these signs, I can understand that you must have heard the blowing of Krishna's flute, and as a result of this, your heart is now melting." And here's another statement from the Vidagdha Madhava. Vidagdha Madhava is a wonderful literature by Srila Rupa Goswami. And it's I think it's other many devotees can read it. I don't think you have to be like super advanced in Krishna consciousness to read this book. I mean, at least you have to know that Krishna's pastimes are transcendental and Radha and Krishna's interactions are not based on material bodies. In his book, Vidagdha Madhava, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the vibration of Krishna's flute. The sound vibration created by the flute of Krishna wonderfully stopped Lord Shiva from playing his dindim drum. And the same flute has caused great sages like the four Kumaras to become disturbed in their meditation. It has caused Lord Brahma, who is sitting on the lotus flower for the creative function, to become astonished. And Anantadev, who is calmly holding all the planets on his hood, was moving in this way and that due to the transcendental vibrations from Krishna's flute, which penetrated through the coverings of this universe and reached the spiritual sky. Here, regarding the sound vibration of his flute, in the 10th canto, 29th chapter, so these are all different chapters, now we're reading the 21st, verse 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis address Krishna as follows. Although our attitude toward you resembles loving affairs with a paramour, we cannot but wonder at how no woman can maintain her chastity upon hearing the vibration from the flute. Not only women, but even strong-hearted men are subject to falling down from their position at the sound of the flute. In fact, we have seen that in Vrindavan, even the cows, the deer, the birds, the trees, everyone has been enchanted by the sweet vibration of your flute and the fascinating beauty of your person. It's also, it's described that when Krishna plays his flute, the inanimate entities become animate. In other words, like stones, they become liquid. And the animate entities, such as the deer, such as our, of course, I can't say ourselves, such as the residents of Vrindavan, they become inanimate. They become stunned. There's that story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that when Gopakumara went to finally entered into Vrindavan, and he wanted to find Krishna, and he was asking people, where is Krishna? Nobody answered his questions because they were just so stunned. Finally, he found an old man who told him what was happening with Krishna. So, and Krishna came back and everyone came back to life. A gopi once said to Krishna, my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, the sound of your flute, by the sound of your flute, Srimati Radharani has become full of lamentation and fear. Thus, with a faltering voice, she is crying like a kurari bird. So all these different emotions come out just from the sound of the flute. Not just they're attracted to Krishna, the emotion of anger, the emotion of lamentation, the emotion of fear. It just evokes all these different wonderful emotions. Another one. This is about several ecstatic symptoms are visible at once. This condition is called blazing. It's from Nectar Devotion. For example, one of Krishna's friends told him, my dear friend, as soon as I hear the sound of your flute from within the forest, my hands become almost motionless and my eyes become full of tears, so much so, in fact, that I could not recognize your peacock feather. This is a friend, not just the gopis. They could not recognize it was Krishna. My thighs became almost completely stunned so that I cannot move an inch. Therefore, my dear friend, I must acknowledge the wonderful vibration of your transcendental flute. Let's see if there's any other ones. I think that's about it. So anyone have any questions about the flute? Yeah. Yes. The flute is a devotee. What? Vibhav about the flute? I think I talked about it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. That applies to us. Now, we're not hearing Krishna's flute right now. At least I'm not. Maybe you all are. So there's different things that stimulate our emotional mood towards Krishna. And we should actually train our minds in this particular way and to be, you know, stimulated by these things. You know, one thing would be the chakra on top of the temple. Of course, the deity is directly Krishna. So that should definitely stimulate us. But just the thought, even the thought of coming to Mangalarti, the sound or the picture of Krishna and Radharani, the picture of Srila Prabhupada. We have so many things that stimulate us. So therefore, we should arrange our lives and our homes so that we're surrounded by things that help us remember Krishna, that stimulate our remembrance for Krishna and stimulate our emotions for Krishna. So devotional service is meant to be an emotional experience. Whoops. So that's a stimulation. The boop, boop, boop. Anyway, so we're meant to experience emotions, and you know, really intense emotions like the gopis in Vrindavan. And so even at this stage in devotional service, we can experience these emotions by connecting our Krishna consciousness to these different stimulations. Okay. I'm not happy. All glorious Krishna language. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radhika Lokananda. Sri Sri Radhika Lokananda. Oh, Gopi stole Krishna's food. Oh my God. One of the Gopis stole. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. extinguish the fire of conditional life, a repeated birth and death.
This standard on movement is a prime renovation for humanity at large, because it spreads the range of the foundation moves. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and enables us to fully shape the nectar for which we are always anxious. Oh my Lord, congregational champion, we are only able to render all benedictions with the beings, and us the abundant and believing in the name of the church and go with them. In these transcendental beings, given us that all of our transcendental energies, their mighty heart and vast souls for chanting these names. Oh my Lord, how can a kind mission be able to see and live?